This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this month.
This is the story of two sisters, Jessica Tape and Mary Campbell. Jessica lives in a neighborhood known as Rich. Jessica likes life. The only thing about life she would change, if she could, is that she would set it all to music. The Tates have more secrets than they do money. We're approaching Mary Campbell's house. Mary, too, likes life. Unfortunately, life doesn't seem to be too crazy about her. As you can see, the Campbells don't have nearly as much money as the Tates. They do, however, have as many secrets.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 57 of Old TV with a New Twist. I want to welcome my co-host, Eden. How are you, Eden?
Hello, I'm good. Excited to be back.
Eden, 15th time.
15th time. This is the first of the new year, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, last thing you did was Christmas.
Okay.
You did a New Heart Christmas.
Yeah.
And you're way got the record here.
That's right.
We're going to talk about a show called Soap. It was requested by my listener, Ian Guile. So, Ian, I hope you're listening. This is for you. I'm just going to tell you some stats real quick about Soap. It lasted for four seasons from 1977 to 1981. 88 episodes. Did I say episodes?
Episodes. I feel like you've said that in a previous podcast,
I said
too.
That, but
episodes.
It was just in the bloopers. So yeah. there I go blooping again.
Episodes.
88 episodes. There we go. And we've watched this, the pilot episode of Soap. And I don't even want to look at Eden because I don't know what her reaction is at all. We do not communicate with this at all. Mm-hmm. And all I could think, the first question to ask you, because you did All in the Family, mm-hmm. and to ask you, was this kind of on par with the tone and the kind of cringiness or whatever, or what?
Not quite as much. Not as much. It's not as bad. But definitely, there was a few shocked moments where I was like, wow, they just couldn't say this these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it was better than All in the Family. I think it was just, you know, not as much of that.
Okay, good. Well, I can't wait to hear your thoughts about it. Just a little bit of background about the show. It is considered one of the funniest sitcoms ever to grace our television shows.
By whom?
Well, I don't know. Wherever I got this from. Probably IMDb.
What's the source?
It was created by a trio, Susan Harris, Paul Younger-Witt, and Tony Thomas, who's Danny Thomas's son, by the way. They also was the team responsible for Golden Girls.
Oh, wow.
Which,
okay.
So they're successful. Yeah. It was supposed to be a parody of daytime soap operas.
Okay.
And so what they did was they just, this implausibility, melodrama, they added a lot of very bizarre things. Like this first episode is not even the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this show.
Yeah.
Some of the plot twists and things that are going to go on in this show are unbelievable.
That's what I was wondering, because when you said it was called Soap, I knew it wasn't a soap opera, but I didn't know why it was called Soap. And I didn't know, like, what time of day did this come on? Was this a daytime show?
No, it was a nighttime show.
Like a Friday night type of sitcom sort of show? Hilarious.
Yeah. So let's just talk about the characters real quick and the stars who played
them.
There are lots of them.
And I have questions about who the actors are, because
okay,
a few of them looked very familiar.
Yeah. It's two sisters, mm-hmm. Jessica Tate and Mary Campbell. Mm-hmm. And it's the story of the families. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the basic thing going on here. So we had Chester Tate, played by Robert Mandan, and his wife, Jessica Tate, played by Catherine Helmond.
And who is she?
Okay. You recognize her.
So familiar.
She also played Mona on Who's the Boss.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. mostly she plays Deborah's mother in Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I mean, she's much older. But
yeah. I was like, this woman looks familiar. I know her.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense.
Then there's the daughter Eunice, played by Jennifer Salt, I've never seen her in anything else that I
really?
Know.
Really? So pretty, Eunice.
Yeah. Corinne, played by Diana Canova. She was in a lot in the 70s.
A lot of TV movies. Yeah, I don't recognize her.
Yeah. The son, Billy, who was played by Jimmy Baio. Scott Baio's cousin.
Okay.
Chachi's cousin.
He looked familiar. Have I seen him in anything else?
No, the only thing I can think of him, and we just did for Halloween, we did The Facts of Life. The Facts of Life tried to do a spinoff, Bates Academy, of this all-boys school, and he was one of the boys in that.
Okay.
And he might have made a guest appearance on there once or twice. But I think in the 70s, he was doing a lot of guest appearances and things like that.
Right. He was funny, familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. Benson, the butler, played by Robert Guillaume. And then the grandfather, the major, mm-hmm. played by Arthur Peterson Jr. And then the Campbells, Mary Campbell, played by Catherine Damond. Bert Campbell, her husband, played by Richard Mulligan.
He looked familiar.
He would go on to star in Empty Nest, which was a spinoff of Golden Girls, done by the same production team and everything. Yes, he played pediatrician Dr. Harry Weston, who was a neighbor of the Golden Girls in Florida. And his daughters were played by Dinah Manoff and Christy McNichol. Great little show that we are going to be covering here on Old TV with a New Twist. But to me, he played in the movie Scavenger Hunt, and he was hysterical.
Yes,
and
that's what I'm thinking of.
He was the mummy and the cab driver. He was hysterical in that movie. If y'all haven't seen Scavenger Hunt out there, oh my gosh.
That's a great movie.
Hilarious movie.
I have to rewatch that.
Yeah. And then her son, Danny, played by Ted Wass, who would go on to play Blossom, Maya Bialik's dad in the show Blossom.
Okay.
Jody, played by Billy Crystal.
Yes.
And this is, like, I think one of his first roles.
He's the only one that I was like, oh my gosh, look at Billy Crystal. Like, yeah. I know where I know
I
him
think
from.
This might have been his first role.
Right.
And then we have Peter the tennis pro later on. It's just another character played by Robert Urich, who's also had a very prolific career after this.
Gotcha.
He was like Dan Tana in Vegas and captain of the new Love Boat and a bunch of different things.
Gotcha. But, okay.
So out of all the one star of this show got their own spinoff. Do you know who that is?
Off of this show?
Mm-hmm. What character you think could carry their own spinoff?
Benson.
Yes.
Yeah, Benson.
And the spinoff was called Benson.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you about that later when we talk about spinoffs at the end in the trivia. But you guessed it.
He seems the most interesting and like he has the most to say.
Yeah, he was funny. Okay, so we watched season one, episode one, the pilot episode. This show aired on Tuesday, September 13th, 1977, 45 years, 5 months, and some change ago.
Wow.
I always like to look up on this day, September 13th, 1977, what was going on. Eden, who was president of the United States?
Oof. Oof.
I'll give you a hint. It wasn't little Jimmy Nixon.
Wasn't little Jimmy Nixon?
No.
Oh, he was my favorite. 1977, mm-hmm. the president would have been Jimmy Carter. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yay.
She got it.
Yeah, yeah. That's shocking. Ladies and gents.
What was the top movie at the box office in September of 1977?
Jaws.
No.
78.
Now, Jaws was before that, but it was Star Wars.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. The number one song on the radio today, you ain't going to get it. It was I Just Want to Be Your Everything by Andy Gibb.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And for the first time in history, before a show came on television, there was a viewer discretion warning.
About this show?
And it was soap. Looked up what happened today, it said first viewer TV discretion, soap. And I'm like, oh, that's what I'm talking about.
What for?
I mean, this was 1977, Eden. A lot of this was...
Yeah, I guess I'm used to half naked people on the television. I mean, I'm like, what viewer discretion for what?
This was...
This is like a children's program.
It was the show in general. I'll tell you a little bit as we go about what happens.
What continues
What
on.
Goes on. Yeah. Right. Okay. The IMDb review. I'm just going to tell you what IMDb gave it. At the end, we'll tell each other what we think it deserves. Out of 10, IMDb gave it an 8.2.
Okay.
Okay. The Primetime Emmys, it received 18 nominations in its 4 years and 7 wins.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Drinking word for the episode. Did you come up with one?
No.
You know what?
I didn't have a theme. I don't feel like I had a theme. It was kind of all over the place.
Yeah. There was nothing. I think they said a lot.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. No drinking word, people. So I'll just sip my lemonade at will.
Yeah. Whenever you'd like.
Okay. So we're going to pause for a short announcement. Then we are going to come back and talk about this pilot episode of Soap. Before we talk about any specific episode, I'd just like to announce that if you are not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And what I do is about a week or two before the podcast drops, I will go in and tell you what show we're going to be podcasting about next, but specifically what episode we're going to be talking about. And I'll tell you exactly where to find it on what platform. I'll even post a link, whether it's Amazon or Hulu or any of the free streaming apps like Dailymotion, Pluto TV, Tubi TV or Crackle TV, I'll let you know exactly where to find it. That way you can go in, watch the episode, and when you listen to the podcast, you can follow along with us scene by scene because you will have seen the episode. And you can find out, did you laugh in the same places we laughed in? Did you not like what we like? Or did you like what we liked? And it'll be kind of fun to follow along. Just wanted to put that announcement out there to let you know that in that Facebook group, you'll have all the information before the podcast drops. And we're back, and we're going to dive right into Soap. Now, if you were listening to the beginning of this, you heard the intro to the sitcom. And it's quite different because it's not just a song.
Is it the same every time?
It is.
Okay.
It's kind of
the
like,
Tate family.
It's kind of like the Brady Campbell Bunch. Family. It kind of tells you the whole story, what this is about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. And I wondered, I wrote in my notes, I wonder if it's the same every time, if that's just the intro.
I think it is from what I remember, but it just introduces both families. The Tates have a lot of money and they have a lot of secrets and the Campbells are not as rich, but they have just as many secrets or something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
So the story begins early one morning and we are at the Tate house in Duns River, Connecticut. And Jessica comes into the kitchen and her butler, Benson, is fixing eggs. And apparently with these eggs, he is trying to kill Chester Tate, her husband. She's like, Benson, why are you fixing eggs? You know, Mr. Tate has high cholesterol. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. Immediately, I was like, he would be fired. Just the blatant, like, I'm trying to murder you. I mean, not really murder. And someone with high cholesterol can eat an egg.
Yeah, exactly.
But just the blatant disrespect, you know, oh, for the dinner party this week, you want me to make beef Wellington. But even though you're my boss, I'm not making beef Wellington. No. I'm going to make something your husband hates.
Yeah.
Also my boss.
Yeah.
I was like, he would be fired so fast. But again, that just lends to the silliness of the show.
Yeah. Because she seems ditzy.
I wrote, is Jessica Tate a simpleton? But again, I didn't know going into the show that it was supposed to be this like dramatized version of soap operas. Like,
so you knew
like,
nothing.
No, nothing. I don't look them up before I watch them, and I've never heard of Soap.
Okay.
So.
Oh, wow. You must have really.
I knew nothing. So, yeah, going in, I was kind of taking the characters for face value rather than, like, these caricatures, essentially, of what soap opera characters are, which it's helpful now knowing that because I just kept being like, well, she's dumb. And it is a show still, so other shows in general, the characters aren't realistic. They're not.
Right.
They don't act like normal people would act. But yeah, I was just like, she is a silly head. And the things she says, the faces she makes.
A silly head.
A silly head.
That's a new one.
Silly knucklehead, silly head.
Yeah. So it's a funny scene.
It's the perfect intro to Benson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's great. He is the breakout from this show. That's why I asked you, what star do you think? And you guessed. So obviously.
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what, Eden? Ian also requested that we do Benson. And guess who's going to podcast about Benson?
Love to do that. That's so fun.
Yeah, we're going to do his spinoff. Right. So he's not going to fix beef Wellington for their dinner. I don't like it, so I ain't making it. Then we switch to the bedroom where Chester Tate is on the phone with his mistress. Before we talk about that, I want to talk about the decor in the bedroom and the bathroom that we see. Now, this is apparently in 1977 supposed to scream rich. What does it scream in 2023?
It's so funny that you bring this up because I wrote about the decor in my notes, but I wrote about it when we're in the dining room at breakfast.
Well, overall, let's just talk about it overall. Okay.
Overall, the dining room at breakfast, I wrote, I want my house to look like this. It was classic. The dining room was, you know, dark wood, wallpaper, candelabras, a chandelier, all things that I desire to have in my home. And I thought the dining room looked very classic. From what I remember of the bathroom, extremely dated. You know,
bedroom and bathroom were extremely dated. If you moved
into a house with this, you'd probably redo it for sure. Bedroom, yeah, probably now that I think of it, just like the carpet and yeah. Bedroom and bathroom dated, but the dining room, very classic.
Mm-hmm. I did notice the dining room and I'm like, this isn't as bad as the bedroom and the bathroom were. I did notice the wallpaper because it reminds me of the wallpaper like in the plantations we go to.
Exactly.
It's like a scene on the wall.
Right. It's more of like a mural.
A mural. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really pretty.
Yeah. Those were the things that I was like, oh, this is just like classic.
And the wainscoting, which I know you like.
That the dining room definitely. And I even thought it because I'm like, this could be a dining room. This could be my dining room.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is timeless.
Yeah.
I didn't find it dated. The bedroom and the bathroom were not timeless.
No, they were not. They were blue and they were yellow.
Yellow was the bathroom.
And when we get to the Campbell's orange kitchen.
The Campbell's house, not nearly as timeless. Not nearly as timeless. No.
Really bad. Okay. So anyway, so Chester is in the bedroom and he's on the phone. Obviously talking to his mistress about wanting to see her this weekend and get together with her. And in comes Jessica, who, you know, she wants to get busy with Chester.
She does.
Obviously Chester's tiring himself out with the mistress and not doing anything with Jessica, but he makes up an excuse. Tell us his excuse, Eden.
This is when I started to get an idea that this was just going to be silliness.
I agree.
Because he, you know, we get him making up this ridiculous story coupled with Jessica's silly headness, just buying everything he's selling hook, line, and sinker. Like, oh, you know, there was a wreck and it was a hog truck and there were hogs in the middle of the road dead. And then I had to move the hogs and then I had to move the hogs so that the fire trucks could get through because it was a fire. And she's just believing this ridiculous story. And that's when I was kind of like, okay, this is not a normal show where the wife would be like, that didn't happen. Like, I'm on to you. This is a very fantastical version of events.
Right. Yeah.
So, I thought the description of the wreck went on a bit long.
You know what? I put that here.
I thought
the story about the hogs went on too long.
Yeah. Like we could get the same silly idea from maybe not having the fire truck or not describing how he had to move them or why he had to move them or.
Yeah.
It was a little long, even for what it was supposed to be, which is like a little comedy break.
Right. Exactly. Now, what I do like about this is that they're going all over the place. We're going to switch around a lot because they're introducing you to every single character.
Mm-hmm.
So next we switch to the bedroom of Billy Tate. He's like, what, 13, you think, maybe?
Around
13. But he's got a tremendous problem. He's got a pimple.
Sweet Billy. Billy, I think, is my favorite character from the show.
Well, he's gonna go on to sleep with a teacher.
Really? I love it.
In one of the later, he's young now, but he's gonna be, you know,
become a teenager. Right, yeah,
older, and he's gonna have an affair with a teacher.
He is funny. I was trying to place his accent because I wrote it down, and Corinne had accents, thick accents.
He sounded like Brooklyn or
Brooklyn.
Something.
Yeah, like yeah. Are they supposed to have accents or is he just not a great actor?
I don't know. I don't.
And his accent's coming through.
I don't think they paid attention.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was a little confused by the accent, but yeah, I really, really enjoyed Billy. I thought he was funny. He's honest. And Benson agrees. The only one worth anything in this family.
Yeah, he's like, you're the only one worth anything in this
right.
family. So Billy's looking at himself in a mirror, lamenting about this zit he's got on his chin. And then this, his sister comes in, Eunice. And she's like all buttoned up and he tells her, you know, because she finds a Playboy kind of magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at this? Yes, I look at this. I like it. I look at it. And one day I hope to touch it.
Yes. This was a major LOL moment for me when he says, I like looking at naked women. One day I hope to touch a naked woman. And she gets all frustrated. And he's like, as someone who's never seen herself naked. That was very funny. That made me fall in love with Billy. He is so funny. And I love Eunice's name. Eunice is so, I you love like that name, Eunice. Yeah, okay. So sweet. Okay. But yeah, Billy, great time. She comes in. She's a little frustrated, very high strung, seems a little uptight.
They're doing a good job establishing the characters here. So we know about Billy. We know about her. You know, we're going to know about Corrine a little later.
I agree. I think they did a great job throughout the show getting them established, kind of getting a feel for each character. They did a really good job of that.
And especially here, while they're in the middle of a conversation, comes barreling through the room an old man in an army uniform who hits the floor and starts doing an army crawl across the floor. And that's, oh, hey, Grandpa.
Yeah, that's, major.
That's the major, Eden. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, they carry this through.
Do they really?
This man
this
is
strongly.
This man is committed to this. And he, it's the whole time.
I wonder how he felt about that. Because his only role is silliness.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
He's literally crawling around. And then you see him, he's looking out the window.
Well, later in the episode, he's literally shooting bullets. Well,
I would have to think they put blanks in his. Yeah, we're shooting at the neighbors because he thinks they're Nazis.
Yeah.
Which it's like, oh my God. But yeah, so that was crazy. They introduced him. And then Benson comes in to give Billy his zit medicine. And then that's when Benson says the only one in his family worth a darn or something like that. So he likes little Billy. Now, next, we're going to hop over to the Campbell house. Okay.
And this is where things get wild. this is it gets even wilder. You think the Tate residence was bad.
Oh, gosh.
The Campbells. Okay. I was so confused on the opening scene.
Okay. Tell us. Take us.
So the opening scene, we get the Tate. The Campbell residence.
Right. The Orange Kitchen.
This is way more outdated than the Campbell home.
Well, they don't have enough money to redecorate or anything.
Right. So we're at the Campbell's house. We're in the kitchen and we see who I assume is the father, but then we learn that it is the stepfather. It is Mary Campbell's new husband, Bert. Mm-hmm. And he is at the table with, what's his name? Tommy?
Danny.
Danny is speaking with a thick Italian accent. He's on the phone. It sounds like something shady's going on. Gets off the phone. And Bert is telling him, you know, you need to cut it out with these Italians and you're going to wind up dead. Are you going to get blood on your hands or more blood on your hands? I don't know if you've gotten blood on your hands yet. And then they start arguing. And I just think this whole thing is very bizarre, much like the hog story. Mm-hmm. It goes on a bit too long where they, you know, they're threatening each other and they're taking pieces of food and crushing it and saying, you know, this egg is your head, smash. This box of cereal is your brains, pour it out. Making a huge mess in the kitchen, fighting with each other, two fully grown adult men, just a silly way to fight. They're not children. And then the mother comes in, Danny's mother.
Mm-hmm. And Bert's wife.
And Bert's wife, recent wife, come in. And she has next to no questions about what happened.
Didn't they say we left a window open and a dog came in?
Yeah, I think a raccoon or squirrel came in. And maybe a monkey.
A monkey. I think it was a monkey.
And she just accepts it. Mm-hmm. No, why is there a whole box of cereal on the floor? Why do you have egg on your shirt? Why is there ripped up grapefruit on the ground? Very few questions. I was alarmed by the lack of questions.
Yeah.
She just gets started mopping it up.
And
so this whole opening scene was very bizarre to me. Right. Very bizarre first scene.
Right. Well, we learned that her husband recently committed suicide and she got married to Bert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eventually, her second son comes in, Jody, played by Billy Crystal, who was the first openly gay character on a television show.
Really?
So it was very groundbreaking, this storyline, because he's going to be in love with a football player. And in just a few episodes, he's going to check into the hospital for a sex change to become a woman.
Really?
So this was extremely groundbreaking.
Wow.
At
okay.
The time. Yeah.
Yeah. So Billy Crystal's character, what's his name?
Jody.
I don't even think I caught his actual name. Jody is my second favorite character.
And he didn't say much. Sometimes he just lifts an eyebrow, you know?
And you can tell why Billy Crystal became the huge breakout star of this show. I mean, he's the only one that I recognize and was like, that's Billy Crystal. He's famous. The other ones, I was like, you know, I think I've seen him in a couple of things. but it's obvious why he is the star. Even just when he's walking out of the room, mm-hmm. the pat that he gives to the stepdad, hilarious, hilarious. His acting, his body language, perfect. He's perfect at this role.
He was. And the stepfather has a really big problem with him, with Jody.
Just him being gay.
Yeah. But Jody kind of comes and goes just enough to introduce him and show how the boys really don't get along with the stepfather.
Right.
And so he leaves, and then you get the idea that, much like Jessica, Mary's not getting any from her husband.
Exactly.
He's impotent, mm-hmm. is what we find out. And she's like, that's the problem. There's something bothering him that he can't get off his chest, and it's causing him to be impotent. She tells him, you can tell me anything. And she leaves, and he's by himself, mm-hmm. and he's talking to himself, but he's really talking to us, Eden. And he reveals a very big secret to us.
He reveals that her husband did not kill himself. Bert killed him.
Yes.
He did a bad thing, mm-hmm. and Bert killed him. Mm-hmm. And he expresses that, I cannot tell my wife, Mary, this. Yeah. Because you wouldn't understand, even though you just said I can tell you anything, but this is beyond what I can tell you.
Yeah. So at this point I wrote, whew, this is a lot.
I was kind of shocked by that, because I was honestly shocked when they mentioned that he committed suicide. Because I was like, this doesn't seem like the type of show that's going to deal with a suicide.
Right.
So I was kind of like, oh, wow. You know, oh, we're going there. You know, he committed suicide, and we're just saying it like that. And then we get, he didn't commit suicide. I killed him. I was like, oh, okay. But now, again, that I know that it's supposed to be similar to a soap opera, that's a soap opera, you know, killing your wife's ex-husband and her not knowing, and, you know, just ridiculous things that aren't normal.
Right.
But yeah, that was, I was like, oh, this is going to get real. Like, this is a real secret. This isn't these like cheating secrets and silly secrets and being in love with the teacher secret.
Yeah.
This is a real murder.
Right.
Secret.
Right. And then we haven't met him yet, but he talks about his sons, mm-hmm. you know, and we're going to meet, they're going to come in and be regular characters too.
So you do, we do meet the sons.
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing is, Chuck and Bob, I can't remember which one's Chuck and which one's Bob. But one of them is the person and the other one is the ventriloquist dummy that is Bob's ventriloquist dummy, but that they treat as a separate person.
Stop it.
Yes.
The two sons he was talking about is just one son and a dummy?
I think so. I think so. Because this dummy was treated as its own person. They said, I was reading some trivia about the show, so much so that they were complaining that the microphones weren't picking up the lines that the dummy was saying, because the sound people were forgetting to put the mic on the guy. They were putting it on the dummy and the dummy wasn't really talking. But
if you guys listening could see my face, my mm-hmm. jaw dropped.
Yeah.
That was a first jaw drop moment. That's hilarious.
That's what I'm saying. This show goes so much further with the wackiness and the craziness, because what's happening is Danny is involved with the mob.
Uh-huh.
And the first husband, Danny's dad, was involved in the mob.
Gotcha.
And they were trying to take over Bert's construction business. They were like, give us a cut of your business or we're going to, you know,
kill you.
We're going to kill you. And he was. And so a squabble happened and he was defending himself when the husband fell off a 30-story building and died. So that's why he says he killed her husband. But the mob has told Danny he's got to kill Bert. So that's going to come up in the next couple of episodes, where he's got to kill Bert.
Wow.
And so he goes to that dinner that they're all having and shoots, but the ventriloquist dummy gets shot.
I'm going to watch this show. Where can I watch the rest of it?
It's on Tubi TV.
Tubi. Yeah. So I can just keep watching all the seasons.
Yeah.
This is the first one where I feel like I mean it. I'm going to watch
it. Crazy. It's just craziness.
It sounds hilariously ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, but the dummy does live because he's got to be a character on the show, but the dummy gets shot, you know,
amazing.
And they all treat it as if it's a person. Oh my God. You know, I can't, it's Chuck and Bob, but I can't remember which one's which? Anyway, so I'm obsessed, yeah, so that's going to happen. So then Danny has to go on the run from the mob. So for the next, I don't know how many episodes, every time he comes in a different disguise.
Hilarious.
He's the nurse at the hospital. He's always dressed up as something different. It's crazy.
I can't wait.
Okay.
This scene, I'm glad that you tell me that there's a hit out on Bert's head, because he's my least favorite character.
Well, yeah, he's
undeniably.
I'd rather him than Chester.
No.
Chester's a blah.
No. Mm-mm. Bert is unhinged. He's a crazy person.
Well, yeah, he's crazy, but that doesn't make him unlikable.
Oh, no, I did not like Bert at all.
Okay, now we jump over back to the Tate's house, and we're in the Tate's dining room, and it's 8:41 a.m. All this has happened before 8 a.m.
I thought that. I thought it was going to say p.m., and I thought it was going to be the dinner.
Yeah.
Nope. Still 8:41 a.m.
Oh. And Benson is still trying to kill Chester.
Yes. I did have a question about this. Is every episode this format where you get the timestamp? Uh-huh. Okay. I kind of thought that because they were doing the timestamps, each episode was going to be one day, but apparently that's not the case because we still have to see the dinner. And that's going to go into episode 2.
Yeah.
So always time stamped, but not necessarily one episode a day.
Right. So they're at the table. It's Jessica and Chester and the daughter, Eunice. And then all of a sudden, Eunice says to her mother, "Do you realize that Benson hasn't said one word to me in 12 years?
I thought that line was so funny. They don't follow up on it.
Yeah.
There's no... preface to it. She just says it.
Yeah. So we learned that Benson's worked for them for a long time.
Right.
Probably since Billy was born, maybe. And then Jessica says, "Oh, you just have different interests." But I think it's hysterical that Benson just never addresses her. Ignores her completely.
Yes.
That's just one of those little things that just.
That's a great way to describe this show, is just so random. Just random things are said. Random things are done. Is so random. Mm-hmm. It's like, who thought of this?
The same minds that thought of the Golden Girls.
Which is great.
So then all of a sudden gunfire breaks out. So we know it's the major. He's shooting at the neighbors again. So here he comes in full uniform, at ease, troops. He comes in the dining room and sits down.
Poor thing.
We did learn, because the Eunice says to the dad, "Why don't y'all put him away? He's crazy." And he says, "Your grandpa suffered a shock in the war." So, the major is still being the major. And this is just all over the place. Benson's coming in and out, and he's putting sugar in the coffee, even though Chester can't have sugar because he's diabetic. And some of it.
It's a lot of back and forth here.
It's a lot. And a lot of it is inappropriate.
Yeah. This is where, in the dining room, this is where that I immediately was like, Benson would be fired, you know?
Yeah.
I know you can't have sugar, but I'm putting it in your coffee on purpose. You tell me to bring you back a cup with nothing in it, and you bring me an empty cup. Like, those are fine and they're funny for a show, but in real life, he would be gone so fast.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have lasted 12 years. But yeah, just a silly back and forth. And we get to see more of Benson's hatred for Chester Tate. Yeah.
And every line Benson says is funny. Everything. And it's like every look on his face is funny. Everything he does is funny.
And every line Chester says is racist.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's when he says, "Is this some sort of black joke?" I was like, okay, that's one way to, I mean, yeah. And then Major Gramps calling him boy and asking him to sing a song. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And even back then, though, Jessica's like, "Dad, you can't call him that anymore."
Right. Yeah. Don't call him that. Which is, it's, you know, I think they get away with it because they address that, like, you're not supposed to call him that. And then it's established that Chester Tate is not a good guy.
Right.
So we know that he is going to refer to him in certain ways that are unfavorable because he's an unfavorable person.
Right.
So I think they get away with it by doing that.
Right.
They're not like glorifying calling him certain things, and they're not glorifying saying, you know, "Is that a black joke?" It's coming from a character no one likes. So they get away with it.
So he's the despicable character.
It's understood
character.
That
it's almost
good.
Like you could forgive, not forgive, but coming from Archie Bunker.
Yeah, it's like you're a terrible guy anyway.
Yeah,
so.
It's coming from Archie.
Right? Yeah.
So anyway, Jessica reminds Chester that Mary and Bert are coming to dinner because somewhere we have to marry these two families. You know, we got to get them together here. So we know that's going to be coming. And then in comes Corinne, the daughter, who didn't come home again last night. We're reminded that she's always out with various men. And here's a little hint about her. She is going to be sleeping with a priest very soon.
This show is wild.
Yes.
This show is crazy. I can't wait to watch more.
Yeah. But she didn't come home again last night, and her mother asked her why. And she's got a perfectly good excuse, Eden.
Oh, I almost forgot her excuse. Again, hers doesn't go on as long, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But a wreck with a turkey truck.
Yes.
I believe it's turkeys laid out all over the road.
Yes.
And of course, the mom is like, wow, hogs and turkeys all in one night.
Yeah.
And we get Benson. Bad night for the farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, we don't, you know, silly, and Jessica buys it.
Yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Hook, line, and sinker. So everybody disperses. Everybody's got their day. Chester's going to work or to meet with his mistress. And Corinne's going to sleep because she was out all night. And Jessica's going to her tennis lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought this was funny when everybody's gone. It's just the major sitting there. And Benson does a sound effect like a
missile.
Like a missile coming in and exploding. And the major hits the ground and goes under the table. It was just funny.
Very funny.
So then the next scene, we jump to Jessica's tennis lesson, which
wasn't a tennis
takes
lesson
place
at all.
In a bedroom.
Wasn't a tennis. This doesn't look like a tennis lesson. What are we doing here?
Yeah. There's a half naked Robert Urich in the bed. And
who is he in other things? You said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Robert Urich was in a ton of things.
Okay. Yeah. He looked familiar as well.
Yeah. She's getting dressed and she's, oh, how could I do this to wonderful Chester? She doesn't know yet that Chester is doing it, you know, to her too.
Exactly.
But the tennis pro, and somehow, you know, about how they just buffed.
I have never heard this. Was this a term in the 70s?
I never heard it buffed.
I wrote it down. I said, I never heard this.
And the tennis guy's like, yeah, but Chester's probably buffing too.
She
you know?
Said, oh, well, that's great. When he asked me what I did this afternoon, I can say that I buffed, and he won't know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he said, I wouldn't try it.
Yeah. Chances are he'll know.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's got to go because his next lesson is on the way. So there's a knocking at the door, and he's shooing her out the back door because the next lesson is
there
coming in.
There are three doors in this bedroom.
Well, one's probably a bathroom.
Who has and a front entrance and a back entrance to their bedroom?
Well.
He does. Yeah, this kind of guy does. There you go. He built this room special.
Yeah. Because what happens here?
So Jessica Tate.
And by the way, this is the only time I heard any audible reaction from you during the show.
From me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jessica Tate goes at the back door. She leaves. There's a knock at the front door. It's his next lesson, which we know what that means. Opens the door.
They're going to buff.
Yeah, they're going to buff. Opens the door and it is Corinne, and they kiss on the mouth.
Yeah.
And I just gasped.
Yeah.
I mean,
he just slept with her mother.
Just got done boffing your mom, you know?
Yikes.
I was like, this show is going there. I felt that way about the murder. I felt that way. I'm like, well, we are episode one. We have a mother and daughter sleeping with the same man. I was like, this show is going there. And for the 70s, how wild.
Yeah.
What a wild place to go.
Yeah. And if the show ends with these questions, will Jessica find out about Corinne and Peter? Will Corinne find out about Jessica and Peter? Will Bert tell Mary he killed her first husband? Will Billy Zit
go away?
Disappear before his first date? Will Benson make fish? These questions and many others will be answered on the next episode of Soap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always ask this, and I think I know the answer. I always ask, is the way this story told make you want to go back and watch more?
Yes. Watchability, 10 out of 10. The way it was done was so entertaining and easy to watch and easy to understand. Not that TV shows typically are hard to understand, but it was organized in, you know, we're at the Campbell residence.
Mm-hmm.
At 8:51 a.m., we're in Billy Tate's bedroom. At 8:52 p.m.
It literally says Billy Tate's
bedroom. Like, literally, it tells you exactly where we are, exactly who's there. It's organized. It's a fun watch. We don't spend too long on things. And it's random. It's hilarious. I'm like, who's thinking of this? And from what it sounds like, it's going to get even more hilarious and random and ridiculous.
Yes.
it is so, so easily watchable. And even, you know, I wasn't even for a second, there was one part where I registered that this was an old TV show. You know, the looks of things obviously outdated, the clothes, the hair outdated.
Sure.
But some shows that we watch, the references, the, you know, the jokes are extremely outdated. The only point of this, they mentioned an actor maybe at one point. And I can't remember when it was. A woman referenced it. Maybe it wasn't an actor. I don't know who it was, but she made a reference that I didn't understand. I was like, I don't know who that is or what that means.
Is there anything in your notes about the episode that we haven't covered?
Let me double check. No, that's it. We covered it all on my notes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to do something different this time when we talk about favorite character. We're going to both say our favorite character at the same time. I don't know if it's going to be the same. I'm just going to say favorite character one,
wait,
two,
let me
three.
Think. Okay.
Okay, yeah, ready?
Let me think for a second. Okay.
Her eyes are closed. She's thinking really hard.
Well, I'm thinking because I know who yours is going to be.
How do you know?
It's kind of hard. Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, I think I know who yours is going to be. Okay, let's say favorite character one, two, three. Billy. Benson.
I knew you were going to say Benson.
I knew you were going to say Billy.
I was like, she's going to say Benson. Yeah, Billy. Yeah, Billy.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
And he doesn't get much airtime in this episode, but when he does, he's funny. He's polite to Benson. You can see that he's kind of the through line with the whole family. He tells the dad hello. He tells the mom hello. He's talking to Eunice. He's talking to Corinne. He's nice to Benson. He's kind of the through line of everyone, and he seems the most normal, much like Benson says.
Right.
He's the only one worth anything in this family. He's kind of the glue, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah,
and funny. I'd say that. He's funny.
Now, we know IMDb gave it an 8.2 out of 10 as a rating. What would you rate this show?
We're pretty much on par. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
A 9 out of 10. I really, really enjoyed it. So if you're listening to this and you have never seen Soap and you did not watch Soap for this episode, I definitely recommend going back and watching it because it is so good. It's so funny.
I'm seeing if you rated anything higher than this. The only thing, you gave the Newhart finale a 9.
That was good.
And you gave the Brady Bunch a 10.
10. 10 out of 10. Nothing beats the Brady Bunch. Please.
Back to Soap trivia. I'll tell you some of Mom's useless trivia. Oh, I already told you this. Early in production, there were problems recording sound for Bob, Chuck's ventriloquist dummy. So the dummy is Bob. It was soon discovered that Jay Johnson's schizophrenic performance was so convincing that the sound man was pointing the microphone at the dummy whenever it had a line.
That is good.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Yeah. One of the first American television series to feature an openly gay character as a regular cast member, Billy Crystal as Jody Dallas. I give away too much of this in the middle of the show.
You give away all of your secrets.
Several big ticket advertisers boycotted the early episodes of the show after advance word of its controversial nature reached the media. One of the few items to actually be advertised on the premiere was a then new product called Slim Fast.
Wow. That is a cool fact.
Now, it was abruptly canceled after 4 seasons because it was still pretty good in the ratings. Mm-hmm. It was heavily suggested that in the press that at the time for its abrupt cancellation was due to religious groups pressuring sponsors and advertisers to pull out from their financial support to the network.
And why so? Just because Billy Crystal's gay and doing the sex change? I mean, that's a radical thing for that.
There was a lot. There was sleeping with the priest and the boy sleeping with his teacher. Yeah. And I think somewhere along the line, somebody gives birth to the devil's child, the baby. Yeah, they do like Rosemary's Baby kind of thing.
They might go.
They go
too
deep
far
into that, and I think that went too far. I remembered when they did it. I think I might have stopped watching for a while.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
But that was toward the end. Mm-hmm. You know, Emily and I were last week when we were talking about Dark Shadows,
kind
talked about
on the shark,
the laws of diminishing return. Like you have to keep giving more and more and more to keep people interested, and it just got too too much. And that's what said religious groups. So I'm thinking it might have had to do with that, which I would have to agree they went too far with that.
Yeah.
Some melodramatic plot lines included demonic possession, alien abduction. Oh, yeah. Bert gets abducted by an alien and they send an alien who looks like him to take his place. It's crazy. Extramarital affairs, murders, kidnapping, unknown diseases, amnesia, cults, organized crime, warfare, a communist revolution, student-teacher relationships, and a relationship with a priest. So
this is a very interesting show.
Yes.
I mean, they just had to
they went there,
pitch it and sign on and commit that this was just going to be bizarro.
Yeah. Yeah, they just bizarre.
Yeah.
Spinoffs and movies. Like I said, there was one spinoff, Benson, and while Soap ran for four seasons, Benson ran for seven seasons.
Seven seasons. Good for Benson.
Yeah, 1979 to 1986. And you will be coming back to podcast about Benson.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens.
Because it was also
Benson.
Requested by Ian Guile, our listener. So Ian, we'll be having that one coming up in the next few months. And we're excited. I'm excited to see Benson.
Yeah.
It's a whole new show. Like he leaves that house and goes somewhere else and it's a whole different thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't wait too. It's going to be fun.
Yay.
All right, Eden. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Seinfeld.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did. And I know you enjoyed it. I tried to kind of look at you a couple of times and you look like you were.
I did. I was very interested in it. It was really good. Really good.
Well, good. And you're right. We didn't say
we
it.
Didn't
so
say it. Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, everybody.
Bye.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.